A lot of people are trying to get me fired. I'm scared. I live in perpetual fear. But first, please sign up to CRTV.com. It's $99, let's say 100. I don't like 99. It's 100 bucks a year, but if you put in the promo code Gavin, it's 90 bucks a year. So for us dumb people, that's like 10 bucks a month or something, less than that. And you get a mug that has my gorgeous mug on it. And which comes, I think mine is the only one with a coaster. It's plastic, but it looks like leather. And I think that's CRTV saying they like me best. I think that's the sort of subtext there. They're saying, yes, Levin is much more intelligent than you. Malkin's much more accomplished than you. Robertson is much more charming, soothing than you. Steven Crowder is much more prolific and dynamic than you. Sure. But you're our favorite. And I appreciate that. You get all those people when you sign up. You got to put in the promo code Gavin to get the $10 discount. And I think it's what? It's a pint a month. You have no idea what my bills are. I'm selling off properties because I bought a big house and I don't go to the other ones. But if any of you could see like my cable bills or any of my bills, you would poop in your panties. So you can handle $10 a month. I spend $1 billion a month on things I don't even... About once a month or once every 2 months, I go through all my Chase statements and I find all these like boingo, boingo things. You know what I mean? When you're on a plane and you sign up for something and you forget about it. Ugh. Some email service from some Danish company that you clicked on when you were on a plane. You hear that? That's me drinking out of this mug. Yeah, I want to talk about all these people trying to get me fired and all these controversies and all this sort of this guy's a Nazi, that guy's a Nazi stuff, because it's indicative of a much bigger pattern, and that is the willful ignorance of the left. I think the left are lazy. I think they see politics as sports. I see them as getting involved in sports when they don't know about sports. So it's sort of like a chick going to a Giants game. And she likes the whole vibe and the funny little drinks you get, big drinks. And she wears the giant sweatshirt and she's got the makeup on, like the face paint. But she's on her phone most of the time and she doesn't even know the score. And that really is the left. I don't really hate that chick, by the way. And I don't really hate the left. I'm confused by them. Why are you so into immigration when you can't go past the whole concept of numbers? You just go, we're a nation of immigrants, everyone belongs to be here, the end. That's like saying, I like the Giants, they wear blue, they throw the football. That's all you need to know. Well, no, you should know that they're top players, you should know the rules of the game, you should know how they're doing this season, you should know how many illegals there are, you should know how many times this Zarate Christian has been, oh my God, I forgot the word for when illegal aliens get kicked, deported. I'm talking, of course, about the guy in San Francisco who grabs a gun, steals a gun. This, we all know the truth, right? Steals a gun, just randomly. He's a mental midget. He's sort of like, as a Christian, I don't like to say this, but he is human garbage. I mean, I'm pro-life. And I don't want babies killed, but I want this guy killed. He should get the death penalty. And that's self-defense. Tom Chaloux was talking about this. He said, people have trouble with Catholics being for the death penalty. If there's someone shooting up a mall, I want you to shoot him because it saves lives. I want you to kill murderers. Killing murderers is not against the Catholic doctrine. And I know that I'm pro-life because... when I was watching Thor Ragnarok and they were escaping from captivity, spoiler alert, and they're shooting all these guards, as I said to Gavin Watson on the show, I don't like seeing guards get shot. I don't like seeing stormtroopers get shot. I don't even like in science fiction seeing robots get shot, like when they have clones. I think, what a waste of resources. What a waste of money. Each one of those things must cost, what, 700,000 Zirconian dollars Don't blow it up. Can't you guys figure out a better way? Don't kill guards. But anyway, so he shoots this innocent woman through the jugular vein, and she dies, bleeds to death on the ground. Her parents now have to go to court, watch the trial go on for 2 years. He's declared innocent. This guy has countless felonies, drug charges, huge criminal record. The reason he probably came here is because Mexico said, can you just leave? Sure. You know, Vicente Fox, when he was president, he was very open about the fact that we get rid of our criminals by shipping them to America. In fact, the Mexican government would make comic books, because they're dealing with illiterates, they'd make comic books that showed you how to emigrate to America illegally. Make sure you bring water. Gets hot there on the desert. Make sure you deal with the coyotes. Make sure you get raped. Make sure you pay in chastity to the coyotes. Lie there and think of Mexico. It was their prison system. America is Mexico's prison system. So he comes over here for the seventh time and declared innocent yesterday. Can you imagine being the parents? I would become the punisher. I would wake up at 8 p.m. I would do my pull-ups in my tiny little studio in Manhattan, my little no bedroom. It'd just be a cot, a bottle of whiskey, a hot plate for when the hunger pains got distracting, where I just make ramen, and then just push-ups, pull-ups, and then just load my gun up into my little case and go and kill murderers. And this guy would be at the top of the list. How could you not kill this guy if you were the dad? But anyway, the defense's side is he found the gun and he went, oh, a gun. He went to pick it up. It shot off. Oh, it hit her. What the? This gun is killing people. So he threw it in the water. Get away from me, gun. It's dangerous. Yep, that'll do. That'll work. Well, wait a minute. You said you were shooting sea lions at the beginning. Oh, I changed my mind. Why'd you throw it in the water? Because it was shooting people. Why do you keep changing your story? And then the lawyer comes in. He has a very low IQ, Your Honor, and doesn't understand anything. Okay. Well, then you may murder people. It's the stupid sea lion defense. And then the defense goes, you know, Trump is kind of pissed about this. He should remember that he's on trial too, you know. He could be the next Zarate. So we have to have a jury, and we have to... The weird thing, too, is people, even on the right, were saying, look, we still believe in juries. Yeah, I didn't say abolish the court system. I didn't say no more juries. I said this is a travesty of justice. And then Slate comes out and says, Trump is using this as an example of why immigration is bad. And you go... I tweeted out this. I said, your interpretation of the news never ceases to make my jaw hit the floor. But you read that article, and this is sort of my theme of today's entire episode, is how separated we've become. There's no middle anymore. It's just the far, far left and, well, I guess I want to say the far, far right, but that's the left seeing us. What the left has done, let me rephrase that. The leftist view of America is Nazis, and then them, and they are Che Guevara warriors. There's no in between. Now, we're not Nazis, but they are so blind. Like this whole, what's her name? Faya, she's got a strange name, this Britain First woman. I've actually been talking to her on Twitter. I'm going to get her on the show on Monday if I'm still employed.
Is it Jada Franson?
Jada Franson, that's it. Jada Franson has the politics of everyone in the world 10 years ago. So basically, patriotic, not bananas about being replaced by Islam. Thatcher's politics, Hillary Clinton's politics circa 2004, Bill Clinton's politics, Obama's politics circa 2008. He talked about illegal aliens as a major problem. He definitely didn't talk about how Islam is a major problem, though. But anyway, she's facing criminal charges for daring to criticize Islam. She did a speech, I think, in Belfast. She goes back to London. The police catch her, throw her in a paddy wagon, bring her back to Belfast, and she's facing 2 years in prison. And by the way, when you face prison in Britain, you're facing death. There was those Polish guys who threw the bacon at the mosque, immediately imprisoned. You know, you can rape kids if you're Muslim over there. In Europe, if you're a Muslim refugee, you can rape a 10-year-old. Just say you didn't understand it, or she liked it, or you didn't know what the word no meant. Fine. But if you criticize Islam, well, that's a whole other kettle of fish. So this Polish guy throws some bacon at a mosque. God bless Poland. And he is sentenced to 2 years in prison for that. What? When I think of all the vandalism we got up to in my adolescence, we had a rule. You couldn't go to a party unless you committed 13 acts of vandalism. There was this guy who built this beautiful tower of lattice wood, and he had vines growing up and stuff, and I destroyed it to the ground for no reason at all and was caught by the police after hiding in a bush. I remember the police pulled up and they started asking questions, and I thought I could surreptitiously grab a thing of grass, put it in my mouth, and start chewing it, and then the grass would hide the smell of the beer and I wouldn't get caught for underage drinking. Cops notice when you reach down, pull up grass, and start chewing it like a cow. They think you're a mental patient. And then, boy, was my dad mad at that one. I had to go back to his house the next day and rebuild it. Didn't do a very good job. Kind of on purpose. But anyway, so she dared to criticize Islam. She's shipped up there, arrested, facing prison. The Polish guy who did basically teenage vandalism, 2 years in prison, and he was, well, I can't find evidence that he was killed in prison, but he mysteriously died in prison. Now, these prisons in Britain are full of Muslims. Tommy Robinson, they sent him there on some bullshit charge. The charge Tommy Robinson got had something to do with his brother lying about his mortgage payments and then his brother staying at Tommy's house, so Tommy was aiding and abetting a fraudster. I mean, it was something that ridiculous. So he goes in, and they purposely put him with Muslims, which are all extremist Muslims, in prison. And they try to kill him. They throw boiling water at him. Now, Tommy's a fucking brawler. He loves to fight. And he never is not smiling. He has a smile from ear to ear 24 hours a day. I've hung out with him before. And he's constantly joking and making the waitress laugh and making the barmaid laugh and cheersing. And the guy is just, I don't know, thrilling to be around. So even in terrible situations like that, he's like Jason Bourne. He just gets in there, kicks the shit out of them, and saves his own life. So it's no small deal being arrested there. And we all know about Count Dankula, who's facing prison there for teaching his pug to Sieg Heil. And I hate to say these words, but as a joke. Sorry, I have to say that. No, it wasn't as a joke. He was seriously training a pug army to take over Britain and rebuild World War II from scratch. The pug Nazis. I actually had a t-shirt made that said Nazi pugs, fuck off. And that's how ridiculous all of this witch hunting is. They are totally blind to Islam and illegal aliens. Totally blind. And those are real crimes, real hatred, real racism. I mean, right now, the Libyans in Northern Africa are taking African refugees and selling them as slaves for $500. And you're obsessed with the KKK and Brexit and Identity Europa. So they're 100% totally blind to actual crimes and actual fascism and actual modern Nazis. And then they're looking at the right with a microscope and going, well, this guy farted 2 weeks ago. It's kind of sound like, frr, frr. That's kind of like Sieg Heil. So we got our Nazis. And then they proudly spout it. They go, you're more likely, what was his name? Not Dean Abadabadja, but the other guy, Zar Fahida, whatever, where he goes, you're more likely to be killed by furniture than you are by a Muslim. True. But I have about 100 pieces of furniture in my house, and there's things called drunks and old people, and there's 320, 350, if you include illegals, aliens, Reza Aslan, that's his name, human beings in this country. So it's 320, but if you add illegal aliens and everything, it gets up to like 350. So you're going to have some, just by circumstance, you're going to have some furniture deaths. However, Muslims are 1% of the American population, and they are doing a pretty good job of controlling the mass shootings here in America.
Yeah, what about Dylann Roof?
Yeah, that huge white power guy, Dylann Roof, that everyone was listening to and following and going to his meetings and reading his blog. By the way, I had a strange desire last night. I wanted this illegal alien to kill again just to show the left how insane they are. And that's a disgusting feeling to have because it's wrong and it's immoral and it's anti-Christian, but it came to me. It happened in my body and I'm not proud of it. But anyway, so this woman's facing criminal charges for that, and that is a form of a death sentence. I mean, you're sending them to a zoo. I'm going to get her on the show on Monday, I think. She should have been on Tucker last night. They had a guy on Tucker last night saying, and a Muslim doing that taqiyya, saying taqiyya means lying for the sake of jihad, saying we're very pro-free speech. Free speech has been great for Muslims. And then Tucker says, well, what do you think should happen to this woman? She should be jailed. Oh, I thought you were for free speech. No, not if it's inciting violence. How is it inciting violence? I think that's an interesting debate. Should you be arrested if you're rallying up the troops and saying, let's go kill them right now? They are situated here at City Hall. Turn around, everyone, and go and attack and kill them. Those are just words, but we're definitely on the periphery of free speech. But it never gets to that. She's not saying anything close to that. She's saying, I want Britain first. And when you go to their site, this hate site, this hate group, the first thing is, Britain first and racism. No, we're not racist. Here's all the blacks and the other people and the Sikhs and the Muslims and everyone who's on our side. Yes, there are Muslims in these groups. The English Defense League has a Muslim in them because he doesn't like what Muslims do to Muslims. But yeah, I'm looking at this article in Slate, and they talk about their takeaway from this innocence plea is undocumented immigrant acquitted in death of beautiful Kate as... acquitted in death of, quote-unquote, beautiful Kate. She wasn't even that pretty. A case Trump used as anti-immigration rallying cry. Yes. You shouldn't use that as an anti-immigration rallying cry? Rallying cry? What are you talking about? Is he on a horse? For Donald Trump, we were just what he needed. Beautiful girl, San Francisco, illegal immigrant, arrested a million times, a violent crime, and yada, yada, yada. Stanley's mother, Liz Sullivan, told the San Francisco Chronicle months after her daughter's death. We were the perfect storm for that man. Wait a minute. Is this the mother mad about Trump? I gotta read this article more carefully. I was just impressed at the part where they sort of poo-pooed his charges. Oh, yeah, here it is. Trump used Garcia Zarate's past, and then they just sort of, they have in dashes, like, oh, by the way, here's his thing. He had been deported from the U.S. five times and had 7 felony convictions, including drug charges, as proof of his campaign's anti-immigrant operating thesis. Dave, look that up. I don't want to bore these people with, it's on Slate, the Slatest undocumented immigrant acquitted in death of beautiful Kate, and the part I want to look up is the for Donald Trump thing where it looks like the mother is criticizing Trump. That's a new one. So that was in the news yesterday, and it's a great example of how separate we've become. Now, the separation we have is often blamed on Trump. My wife blames Trump. And I go, no. That's like when your dad says it's bedtime and all the kids start crying. What? It's only 8 o'clock. Ah. And you go, look what you've done. You made all the kids cry. Trump is just reality. He's just said, no, I'm not playing these stupid games anymore. It's bedtime. It's time to eat your dinner. It's time to do your homework. You got to go to school. I'm not pretending that rape is rampant on college campuses. I'm not pretending that illegal immigrants are wonderful people. I'm not pretending they're sending their best. I'm not pretending that our deals with China are good deals. And it's great that they do all our manufacturing, that they get all our stuff for free and we have to pay through the nose for them. I'm not pretending that that America is racist. I'm not pretending that cops are hunting down and killing people. I'm not pretending that America is not a Christian country and you shouldn't say Merry Christmas. I'm not pretending we all should say Happy Holidays because it's inclusive. No, I'm drawing the line in the sand here. Yes, you can come here. Yes, you're part of our culture if you're pro-Western. Western culture is the best. I'm sick of pretending it sucks. So Make America Great Again is really Make America Proud Again. Make America proud of itself, and he's done with shame. And that pisses off babies. It gives them temper tantrums, actual temper tantrums. They will stand on the streets and scream at the sky. Like November 8th, where we had hundreds of people, and yes, I only mean hundreds, across the country screaming at the sky. Surely that is not Trump's fault. Surely that's evidence of brats having temper tantrums. Now, you can't say that Trump is polarizing the country when half the country are babies. All right. Here's another example of the disconnect going on here. Trigger Tommy, Tommy Christensen. Now, it's hard to send you the link. I'll try to put it on this. But if you Google WeSearcher, W-E, search, and then just an R, so it's not E-R, it's just R, kind of like Mastercraft. WeSearcher, Trigger, Tommy. It's also my pinned tweet on my Twitter. Now, this is a guy who got beat up by Sharpskins in 2010. Sharpskins are skinheads against racial prejudice. He's a punk rocker who hates communists, and he's a defector. So he used to be a liberal, just like all punk rockers. And then he said, yeah, this is sounding like big government and communism. I'm kind of an anarchist. I hate communists, which equals racist. And there's nothing that the left hates more than a defector. And I said this on my show about Cassandra Fairbanks. She was Bernie bro, moved over to Trump. They start threatening her daughter. Like, you get extra vitriol. You also get extra vitriol when you're a woman and you're vulnerable and you're weak. You'll notice that, like, a gay Trumper with skinny arms and Grover's body is more likely to get attacked by Antifa than some 6'2" proud boy who's looking for a fight. In fact, when I worked at Rebel, Ezra Levant said, let's do a version of that catcalling video where you have a hidden camera and you walk around New York, but instead of being a hot chick, which you're not even a hot dude, wear a MAGA hat. And I thought, okay, Ezra, that's easy for you to sit at home and bark out threats or threatening situations, but I did it. And I was like, come at me, bro. And no one went near me because they could smell that it wasn't going to go well for them. And I'm not saying I would have kicked their ass. I'm just saying they knew that even if they beat me up, there was going to be some punches on the way down. And that's Trigger Tommy's life. So after he gets beat up in Portland, everyone hates him. He's a pariah. And Portland is so left-wing. Like, that's what you have to understand about Jada Franson. Am I getting her name right?
Yeah.
That's what you have to understand about Jada Franson. When you hear someone is a far-right extremist in Britain, that's like hearing someone is a far-right extremist at Berkeley. Maggie Thatcher was a centrist. All Maggie Thatcher did was say, maybe the unions shouldn't control, say, coal mining and force us to pay coal miners when there's no more coal. I'm sorry. It doesn't seem like we should be paying for all these industries that are no longer lucrative. And, you know, my grandfather was a communist, Johnny McInnes, and he was a big protester up in Scotland in Glasgow, and he worked in the newspaper business, and they had to get the wages higher and higher and higher. Guess what happened to the Glaswegian newspaper business, which, by the way, was the epicenter of newspaper. In fact, I believe Glasgow invented the tabloid. But they drove the prices up and they killed the industry. And, you know, Glasgow destroyed all their industries. It used to be made in Glasgow before it was made in Taiwan. Ships, Everything, textiles, tobacco, everything made in Glasgow. Every park in Glasgow is some tycoon's former front yard. But my grandfather killed it. So my son, Johnny McInnes, is not named after my grandfather, Johnny McInnes. I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but I'm not a huge fan of him. But anyway, that's all Thatcher did, was to say, let's free the market up a little bit here. And going to Britain is sitting in giant, beautiful, middle-class homes that are made of stone by masons and hearing about what a bitch Thatcher was for these upper-middle-class baby boomers who benefited from her privatization. It's bizarre. Anyway, so this far-right extremist... And by the way, I know a lot of you are out there listening thinking I forgot what I'm talking about, and I resent that. Trigger Tommy is what I was talking about. And so he's a pariah in Portland, like Thatcher was a pariah in Britain. And eventually he goes, I just got to move. Like, I can't go to get a BLT anymore without seeing... It's like being a pedophile. And all I did was say I hate communists. So he moves to Chicago. And this guy is not a political dude. I know him. And he likes to talk about punk and beer and girls. And he's I don't want to call him a pussy, but he's like a romantic. Like, he's really into his girlfriend. You know those kind of guys that go, yeah, okay, well, I'm going to bring my girlfriend. He brings his girlfriend everywhere. I'm not criticizing you, Tom. I'm just trying to depict you correctly. And you'd rather hang out with your girlfriend than go get drunk with the guys, which I don't get, by the way. Bros before hoes, dude. So he's playing pool at Delilah's. I believe this was in May or something. It's on the WeSearcher thing. But he's in there playing pool, and there he is. And no one ever, like, these lefties, these alt-left people, they don't come up to you and go, hey, man, I thought it was racist what you said about America not getting their best and there being too many illegal aliens. That would be great. And you go, you don't think 30 million is too little, too many? And they go, well, it's only 12 million. I go, that's ancient. That number comes from a Pew study that's at least 10 years old. You know these illegals have kids, don't you? Well, those are American citizens. That's an interesting, you know, argument, but they don't do that because they don't know any of that stuff, right? So they say, Nazis don't deserve a platform. I'm turning into Jim Gaffigan with these characters. Is he going to talk about tater tots all day? So they just go, they get on their expensive phones and they call everyone and they show up. This is at a pool hall bar called Delilah's. I don't know Chicago. I'm not a fan of Chicago. It's like the poorest blacks killing two a day in the South Side, and then the self-righteous, politically correct, rich white people in the North telling everyone what black people are like. You go, why don't you repair your backyard before you start preaching to me about verbiage? So they grab pool cues and they start attacking him. And he attacks back. He's a good fighter. He's a brawler, this kid. He's probably 30. And so he takes a few of them down, breaks some noses, but he gets the back of his head opened up, where I believe he has 14 staples in his head to hold the skin together. I don't believe there's any charges filed. So he starts carrying a knife. And he's walking down the street in Chicago. Now, this is probably, now we're into like the spring of 2017. And some Antifa dude in a rickshaw goes, hey, that's that Nazi guy. This is social media, right? Like, they have their blogs. And on their blogs, they just make up crap about him. They go, yeah, he's on these white power message boards all the time. Which, by the way, should you kill someone who's on a white power message board? But yeah, and he shot an Antifa dude, paralyzed him. And he was bragging about it. And you go, what? How did he get away with that? Who is he, Uday Hussein? He can just go and shoot people and laugh it off? And if he can, why is he in trouble now for this knife incident? And they say, yeah, he shot a guy and paralyzed him and he was bragging about it, shot an Antifa. And you go, can you show me the newspaper report of this? Can you show me the police file? Can you show me any record of this shooting? That's insane. No one in America... We don't have an El Chapo. You can't shoot someone till they're paralyzed and then brag about it. It doesn't happen. You go to jail. I don't care who you are. What about if you're the cops? Justin Volpe rammed a plunger up a black dude's ass, up a suspect's ass. Yeah, he's in prison right now for it. He's in Florida. I think he just got married, by the way. So the guy on the rickshaw... an Antifa rickshaw driver starts screaming, "That guy's a Nazi. He shot one of us," or whatever. And then everyone around him starts going approaching Tommy. Like, they just take it as a fact. That's the thing about these rumors. They stick. They work. You don't have to back it up. Just say it, and then it's true. Like at the airport, I told you about that, right? Someone in the, I'm with my family who all look Chinese, and they're American Indian, and someone goes, "That's a Nazi. Oh my God." And they take a picture of me. So I walk over to them in the lineup. I'm checking my bags, but I stop checking my bags. And I go, "What are you doing? What's the problem here?" And then she starts shaking and she goes, "Just go, just go." I go, "What is your exact problem? You're saying I'm a Nazi? What quote are you taking this from? What position do I have? Like, tell me the evidence here. It's a huge accusation. And you're taking pictures of my children. What are you doing with these pictures?" And she goes, "You're making a woman cry." And I'm not exaggerating. And then these two women, they're black women, one in front of her, one behind her, hold her and start patting her on the back. Judge and jury, I'm guilty. You've got a war criminal. I better drink the poison. I'm going to get 20 years. So the people around the rickshaw just take it for granted. So this is the world Tommy's been living in since 2010. And all these people going, "Whatever, he's a Nazi." A, he's not. B, if he was, you don't need to die for your political views. You're allowed to have thoughts in this country. And again, he's not that guy. But just for the sake of devil's advocacy, you're allowed to have opinions in your head. You know? You can want to kill everyone. You can secretly harbor fantasies. Like that cannibal cop. Remember him? He was secretly wanting to eat people. I can't remember. Can you look up what happened to him? Also, Dave, just for the sake of not leaving stones unturned, what was going on in that article?
They just cited her saying she was a perfect story for Donald Trump.
Oh, she was saying that in a good way.
It wasn't really that clear. The link didn't open to the San Francisco Chronicle article that they were referencing.
Of course it didn't. "We were the perfect storm for that man." Sounds negative.
Here we go. Yeah, cannibal cop.
All right, you have to keep researching that "we were the perfect storm," because it sounds like the mother is saying that Donald Trump used her and used her case. And she sounds like she thinks that's a bad thing. We got to get to the bottom of that before this podcast is over. But cannibal cop, did he end up getting criminal charges? Well, you look that up.
Find that out in a second.
Anyway, so I would love any of these people who poo-poo Tommy's situation to live under that sword of Damocles, that level of threat. I'd love you to try it for 5 days. Now, I have it in a much lesser scale. If I walk around Bushwick or Williamsburg, people start gasping, and Antifa starts assembling. It usually takes them too long. I am so well known as an evil man in hipster New York that people come up to me and they'll think they're thinking outside the box, and they'll go, "I actually find you pretty amusing." Whoa. Look at you go. Someone's reinventing the wheel. You don't want to kill me? Wow. I'm just having a brutal fart that you don't have to smell. That's the beauty of these podcasts. So Tommy's going through that life, and Rancid are playing. This is now, I think we're up to August 11th, and the Dropkick Murphys are playing. I think it's at a place in Chicago called Northerly Island. He should have brought mace, I believe. And I talked to cops about this, and they say, thing about mace is it's legal everywhere you go, and that'll stop a truck. I mean, I wish he could be armed, but actually not a lot of cops want us to be armed, which pisses me off. But, yeah, you can't be armed, so go with mace. And I tell that to a lot of people. I remember when I was a kid, the Nazi skinheads would carry mace. Yeah, you heard me. They would carry mace to go beat the crap out of people. So they would go up to punks, spray them with mace, and then beat the shit out of them. How sadistic is that? And by the way, for the record, while we're here, when I was a teenager, Nazis were Nazis. They had swastika tattoos. No, they weren't plants where they had three swastikas spray painted onto their shirt with giant fat red suspenders and mutton chops. You saw that guy, right? Who was wearing like Timberlands or something. Such an obvious FBI plant. Or Soros plant. No, these were skinheads who were Nazis, who Sieg Heiled, who beat the crap out of us, who Francois, I know that sounds like a pussy name, but I'm in French Canada here. He had Klansmen galloping into battle on his entire back. I don't mean guys who were linked to the Klan. I mean hoods. Those are the guys who were beating us up. Wolf had a rapier in his cane. His handle was a knife. And they would come to shows like SNFU and MDC, and they would stand on the edge of the pit and punch us in the head when we got too close. Aidan Gert, who's now the drummer of Godspeed You Black Emperor, fought this Nazi skinhead named Joff for 3 hours, or more specifically, Joff beat him up for 3 hours. I lived with Aidan at the time. He was in bed for 4 days. Joff, of course, blew his head off with a machine gun when his baby mama said, "You can't see your kid anymore." He had a machine gun because he would go down to the States and meet with survivalists and then smuggle machine guns back. That's your Nazi, guys, okay? I've dealt with Nazis. Your punk rocker, who is rumored to have been on a message board and hates communists, is not a Nazi, and he certainly doesn't deserve to be pounded with pool cues and bats everywhere he goes. And, by the way, mentally terrorized. Like, he would constantly see on social media, "Want to play pool, Tommy? Come out and play, Warriors." Remember the Warriors? That's been his life for 7 years. Anyway, so he's armed, and he goes to this Rancid show. And they go, "There he is." And there's all these, like, I say the alt-left as a sort of blanket statement to mean Antifa. There's a gang there in Chicago. I believe they're called Fear City Skins. And these are just, like, skinheads that want to fight, but they don't want to be known as Nazis, and they're not. So they just beat the crap out of people they think are Nazis. But as Crass used to say, left-wing violence, left-wing violence, right-wing violence, all seems about the same. Bully boys out fighting, it's just the same old game. Boring fucking politics will get us all shot. Left-wing, right-wing, you can stuff the lot. Keep your pride and prejudice, or whatever he says. I don't see the point. Anarchy and freedom is what I want. So I believe he was attacked by the Fear City Skins. Big dudes. Good fighters. And then a bunch of punks who just, a lot of them are rich kids and they want to feel righteous. In Chicago, my amateur psychiatry theory is that they feel guilty about the fact that they have all this dead black people in their city every single day. And they want to do something and they're frustrated. They want to be freedom riders. And they go, "I can't go in there and start confiscating guns from gang members and say, stop that. So I'll just beat up anyone who seems remotely racist, and then that's me saving the blacks in the South Side." That's my theory. One of them. And so the entire venue, word gets out, "There's Trigger Tommy, there's Trigger, there he is, there he is, there he is." It's exactly like being a pedophile. And they start swarming towards him, as you would if you were, if you knew a pedophile was in your midst. I wish, don't you wish this was justified? Like, when I was in shit for saying trannies are just mentally ill gays, they're not women, I loved it. It was like Larry David in Curb Your Enthusiasm. But when you're a villain for something you don't actually believe, it's remarkably frustrating. It's pretty annoying. You know what it's like? If you want to try it, take a Sharpie and cover your nose, color in your nose black. And then just walk into a diner or something. That's what it's like when I walk around Williamsburg, or that's what it's like when Trigger Tommy walks around Chicago. You walk in and people sort of, their posture gets good, and they look over at you, and then you see them start going, "What the hell's with that guy's nose? Why did he color his nose in like that? What a weirdo." So at the venue, these monsters start moving in on him. Now, in movies and most of real life, when you pull out a knife, people go, "Okay, okay, relax, relax." So Tommy pulls out his knife and he goes, "Guys, stand the fuck back, all right? I'm not messing around here. Everyone, get back." And this might be, I don't know, a lack of understanding of how knives work, but these guys just don't even break their pace. They just keep coming. I guess they assumed he was bluffing. And he goes, "Sorry, guys, not bluffing." and allegedly slashed them really bad. Blood everywhere, cut deep into their, I don't know, face or something. I don't know the details. This is inadmissible in court. But gets charged with a stabbing. I don't believe there was a stabbing. There was also another girl who got cut, but I think that's when he was waving the knife around, and I believe the story is that she totally gets that it was accidental, and she was standing. I don't even think she was swarming in on him. I think she just happened to be there, and as he was, you know, frantically going, get back, she got cut. So when this case first happened, he was facing attempted murder. And that, what is that going to be? 15 years in jail? Because it wouldn't be murder one. But this guy goes to jail all based on rumors. And then, you know, these people just keep recycling these rumors. And every time someone goes, hey, man, this guy shouldn't go to jail, they go, oh, really? He shot someone and paralyzed them. And he's promoting this Nazi website. And they chased him out of Portland for being a racist. And it just keeps going and going and going. These kangaroo courts. That's what the left does. We worked so hard on the Magna Carta. We worked so hard on making justice happen and juries and stuff. And now we have kangaroo courts vilifying people based on high school girl rumors. And our actual courts are getting infiltrated with prejudice and political correctness, where we let illegal aliens with huge, long criminal records go scot-free. We let Muslim rapists in London and Rotherham and Northern England get away scot-free. And I understand that you have your preferences and your little, it's fashion to you, and that's fine. I'm into fashion. But it shouldn't affect real life. I remember when Dash Snow OD'd, I couldn't help but think part of it was him wanting to be like a Sid Vicious iconoclast, a legend who went down as the guy from the early 2000s New York City scene. And when he died, I just thought, dude, it's all a game. Don't make it real. Yes, you are this, the whatever of our generation, the Lou Reed, the Sid Vicious. You're the enfant terrible, as New York Magazine described him, of the early aughts. Great, that's fun, that's cool. But cool is just fashion, it's just a silly game. Real life is ODing and leaving your daughter without a dad. That's real, dude. Why were you doing heroin? I said that about Ralphie May, too, when he died. I compared him to Philip Seymour Hoffman, and I said, sorry, no sympathy here. You killed a child's father when you OD'd on heroin. And I believe Ralphie May was doing Oxy. I don't think... Now, granted, a lot of this I get from his ex-wife, and they're not known as a reliable source, but I've heard from a lot of people that he was a drug addict, not marijuana, but Oxy and bigger pills. And when you're a fat pig and you do tons of drugs, you die. Look at John Belushi and Fat Guy in a Suit. Live by a River. What's his name? Chris Hayes? The fat guy who said you're going to live
Farley.
In a... What?
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley. You can't do coke when you're fat. Can't do coke when you're old. So anyway, I don't like all this, like, putting Philip Seymour Hoffman on the cover, sorry, Drake, of Rolling Stone, and saying, we lost a legend. Yeah, maybe if he got hit by a car. But I believe Philip Seymour Hoffman had his own apartment for heroin because he didn't want the kids to get poked. So he'd have his dad apartment and then his junkie apartment. I knew a girl who worked at a drugstore that used to give him big bags of syringes. He claimed he was diabetic. Fucking loser. Anyway, Joey Coco Diaz called me out on Twitter.
It's a very difficult situation.
Tony Soprano'd me on Twitter and said, look, I heard you were talking bad about my boy Ralphie May. Yeah, I understand you're a gentleman. You say it again, we're going to have a problem. Which I thought, was that's a very weird thing to say on Twitter, to be like a Tony Soprano on Twitter.
Hey, Bill Schultz, we got a very difficult situation.
My Tony Soprano wasn't very good. But if you are a mobster and you're going to have me whacked, don't announce it on Twitter, dude. You just left a digital paper trail. Is this only going to stay on Twitter? Are you going to put a JPEG of a horse head in my bed? Like, what's the next stage? I don't understand what that means. Do you mean you're going to beat me up? I don't think you could. Do you mean that you're going to make me persona non grata in the podcast scene? All right, that's a valid threat. I get that. Do you mean you're going to have me whacked? No, you don't have henchmen. You need henchmen. And henchmen need money. And there's no, like, if you were a henchman for Coco Diaz, you have a lot of downtime. I don't think he wants a lot of people whacked. So I didn't understand it. And I just said to him, sorry, dude, I heard he was a drug addict, and I don't think that's cool. You did it now. People go, you're gonna get banned from Joe Rogan's podcast. That's a weird threat, isn't it? I thoroughly enjoy Joe Rogan's podcast. I do it once every 2 years. It takes 3 hours. To rip that away from me is like ripping away Shamrock Shakes. You will never have a Shamrock Shake again. I love Shamrock Shakes. I love it when McDonald's has them. If you take them out of my life, that would be a bummer. I would live. But yeah. I don't know. Wannabe mobsters sometimes are almost as bad as wiggers. But I think we're ready to get into this hit piece. So Salon, a long time ago, they called me a Nazi. And what I do with that is I say I'm getting a lawyer, and I get a lawyer involved. And what they do is for every, like, $500 you spend on a lawyer, they change a sentence. It's clearly – it's just monetary. It's like in Palermo, when you go to City Hall, they just come down the steps. There'll be a guy there, like a little hustler, and you'll say, hi, I need to get my license renewed. I don't want to wait the 5 days. Okay, what do you got? I have $100. 120, I get you your driver's license in 2 seconds. Then he goes up there. I don't know why I'm doing Mexican. I'm not sorry. I'm not good at Italian accents today. And then he gives the money to the guy, and then they take a cut, boom. You got your driver's license in 5 minutes. Or you could spend a little bit less and have it in a day. It's just, it's all free market. The corruption is so bad in Sicily that everything has a price. I don't know about murder. I assume it is the same way. But, you know, having a, if you want to take down a tree in your yard, you can circumvent the bureaucracy by paying. And I don't even think you can go the normal bureaucratic route without paying. So that's how it works with all this Nazi stuff. And I just pay money and say, that's not true. I'm not a white nationalist, blah, blah, blah. And they take it down. The URL remains the same, by the way, as it was one sticky point. But they don't issue a correction, too. They just change the sentences. So Salon called me a Nazi. I spent a bunch of money. And now it just says drifting into the far right. And that's fine. You know, you're allowed to have an opinion. It's just you can't say something factually incorrect. Now, a lot of people say, I thought you're for free speech. And you're telling journalists they can't say things. That's an interesting point, and I thought a lot about that. You can call me a piece of shit, a horrible person. It's when it becomes factually incorrect that I have to correct the record, because the record is my job. For example, if you're a teacher and someone writes an article and says, this guy's a pedophile, then you go, well, now I can't do my job. You cost me money monetarily, and you said something that's factually incorrect. So I have to fix that. That's not true. It's like saying a store is selling steak for $4 a pound and it's $1 a pound. Well, people aren't going to come to my store now because you said something that's factually true. I need to correct the record because you're false advertising my steak rates. Now, what if I say your steaks suck? Eh. And you know what's funny about the word Nazi? My lawyer was saying this. He goes, they are using this so much, it's ceasing to be an insult. I think I said this already on this podcast. He goes, it's kind of making my job harder. Because it used to be, this guy's a racist, anti-Semite, he's a Nazi. Now it just means, like, he's mean. And he goes, it's legal to call someone mean. And I go, well, it's not quite there yet. But you're right, it is getting there. But white nationalist is very specific. Anyway, I don't think it violates free speech to demand that a person correct the record. I also have no problem with someone saying, I feel like this guy's a Nazi, or in my opinion, he's a Nazi. That's fine. That's your opinion. What are you going to do, say someone can't have an opinion? But it's when they state it to be unequivocally true. So anyway, Salon is wary of me because I've got lawyery with them, and that's expensive. Raises their insurance and all that. But the woman who wrote the article, Amanda Marcotte, I see her as a cat lady, a sad, lonely woman who, you know, let her ovaries dry up and is one of these New Yorkers, as far as I'm concerned, who is just sort of like drifting through New York. New York is an elephant's graveyard for ovaries. And they seem to be my biggest enemy in the media. And now I'm speaking generally. I feel like they resent the fact that I said, what have you done? You blew it. And every time I talk to them, by the way, they did have a potential guy when they were 30, 29, 30, 31. And it was looking like marriage, and they went, nah, which is chickening out, right? Seeing it as sexist. I see them as brainwashed by feminism. Sort of like those guys that got stabbed by Tommy. I feel bad for them because they're a victim of this left-wing brainwashing, ultimately. These spinsters that hate my guts, I actually have their best interest in mind. I wish they had a guy. I wish they had a kid. I wish their children weren't animals. And they resent me for that. But if they say, this guy says that we would be happier at home, and he says that we should not be lonely, that sounds lame, right? So they go, well, what's the worst insult now? Well, Nazi's pretty bad. Okay, this guy's a Nazi. He's a racist. And I don't think they believe that. And that's the sort of crux of today's ep, is this willful ignorance where you know something isn't true, but you just say it because it's an effective insult and it's inconvenient for the person because now they have to go and correct it. It's sort of like, again, in Thor Ragnarok, where they stick his neck with this electrical thing, and every time they push a button, it goes, and they go, ah! That's what the racist Nazi tag has become. It's just a sticky zapper that goes on your neck. And it's easier than making an argument or debating someone. And I don't think they believe it. Like at the NYU talk, they were like, Nazi, give me the finger, pepper sprayed me. I finally get in. I'm squinting there, and the first thing I say when I get up there on the podium is I go, we got three problems with America today. The woman, the black, and the Jew. And their jaws hit the floor. Now, I'm not talking about the people, the conservatives, the Antifa dudes went, oh, what the? They were stunned. But weren't you just pepper spraying me because you assumed I was that guy? Wasn't that the accusation? And then I am that guy? And your jaw drops? Oh, you don't think I'm that guy. It's a game. Okay, well, the game has real consequences. So anyway, within maybe 2 seconds of the gasp, I go, just kidding, obviously just kidding. But I go, is that who you thought was coming here today? That guy? And then that was going to be my speech about that guy. And how he doesn't really exist. And if you find him, he's way in the hills of upstate New York or in the South or something. And he has no power. And by the way, that guy hates people from Spain. And, you know, he thinks that he'll have something about Bosnians that aren't white enough or something. Like, those guys are very specific about who's acceptable. So they're not like, they're not Steve Bannon for the 10,000th time. They're not in the White House, you fool. And you know he's not in the White House, and you know that's not me. That's why you gasped. These people are so easy to expose, aren't they? Like when Lucian Wintrich has a talk and he goes, it's okay to be white, and everyone gets really mad. You just exposed yourself as a ludicrous radical. It's not okay to be white? I predict that if you have a college talk and you say it's okay to be Jewish, I guarantee you, you will have pushback at the college and there will be hecklers screaming about Israel and how you're a Nazi. And I guarantee it. Now, what if Lucian had done a talk saying it's not that bad to be white or it's not terrible to be white? Like, how far do we have to go for you not to be mad? Whites shouldn't die. Whites shouldn't be exterminated. Can you do that talk? I don't know if you could. We did it with the Sharia law thing. We had a protest against Sharia law. We said, Sharia law is bad. We never want it here in America. Now, we don't think Sharia law is going to be instituted tomorrow, but we went way, way, way out here and said, okay, this is bad. Do you agree with that? And they went, nope. And we went, wow, so you're even farther that way. It's a way to make a point. It's like I hate when people have dinner and then they use their napkin and then they put their napkin on their food. And I go, what are you doing? You're desecrating the food you were just eating. And they go, I'm done. And I go, okay, well, tuck it under the bottom of the plate. And they go, then the waitress has to get it. I go, okay, sorry, waitress. That's why you get a tip. And then the waitress will come and go, do you think it's easier if my napkin is on my food? And she'll go, yeah, it's easier for me. And I go, that's nice. Why are we helping out the waitress? Would you go into the sewers too and say, here, let me get that for you? You know, I drink when I get tattoos, and you're not supposed to do that. It makes it harder for the tattooist because it thins your blood, and there's blood everywhere, and he has to wipe more. Sorry, dude. You're making, what, $100 an hour, $300 an hour? You can get some extra blood there. People at the post office, they work in the rain and sleet and snow. So I'm sorry if you had a bad day. Well, you had a bad day. And people don't understand why that bothers me. So I say, okay, say you just had a fish, and it was that kind of fish that's sitting there on the plate, right? And you're done all the meat, and then you're having a cigarette. Would you put the cigarette out in the fish's eye? And they often will say, well, no, that would be gross. And I go, that's what you're doing with your napkin on your plate. You're desecrating your food. You're putting a cigarette out in the fish's eye. That's what Lucian was doing with it's okay to be white. He was using the fish eye example to say, do you have a problem with that? Or that's what we were doing with the Sharia thing. We were saying, we're against Sharia law. Do you have a problem with that? And they did have a problem with that. So anyway, Salon emails me and they go, we're doing a hit piece on you. We're going to call you racist and the Proud Boys violent. And I go, I'm not so sure violent is a bad word. What's the matter with violence? At my old boxing gym, Church Street, there was a big banner. Their logo said fighting solves everything. I don't think violence is bad. Justified violence, of course. I don't think you should go to someone's house and just beat them up. I don't think you should punch a alt-lefty in the face. But if someone picks a fight with you, you should fight back. And I hate this conservative mentality of just sitting there. And I hate this mentality in general, just sitting there taking punches. Alan Freuer from the New York Times said to me about Proud Boys, he said, wouldn't it be a much better message if you just sat there and take it? I said, have you seen the weapons that have been confiscated? No, I'm not going to sit there and get stabbed. Lauren Southern saw Antifa trying to get plastic bags over MAGA people's heads. That's what she told me. Should I just lie there and be suffocated and become a martyr and deny my three children a father for the cause? Especially with all this bullshit propaganda where it'll be turned into I was saying the N-word and trying to kill a black guy? Fuck that. No. Don't tread on me. Come and get him. Molon Abe. I always thought that was Moron Abe for the longest time. All right, so they sent me the hit piece, and they said, we're going to give you a chance to defend it because we don't want to get sued. They didn't say because we don't want to get sued. I'm assuming that part. You've got to be very careful with this legal stuff that you know is going to end up in court, so you have to say allegedly a lot. But they said to me, how do you feel about the interview you gave with Richard Spencer on November 22nd, 2016, in which you gave him an opportunity to portray the Hail, H-E-I-L, Trump moment as a joke the liberal media was overreacting to? Now, how loaded is that question? I had Richard Spencer on my show. ESPN had him on his show. Vice had him. He's been on a million shows. So when you have a guest, it doesn't mean you advocate 100% of his positions. In fact, that would be a pretty boring show, would it not? And when you are seen with someone, it doesn't mean you advocate all of their views. Is that the America you want to live in, by the way? This is the America the far left is pushing for. Boycotting bands, death from above, you can't go see that band because Jesse knew me, even though he's disavowed me. Or the DJ Funk Devoid, he has to disavow me, or you can't dance to his music. What? So the implication there is that I'm with Richard Spencer, and that I was trying to give him an out. And I said, the truth of the matter is, of course, I said, what, were you kidding? I thought that was a really stupid move. And he said, no, I meant Hail Trump, like Hail Caesar. And I go, yes, but you were aware of how it was perceived. And I saw that moment, that H-A-I-L Trump moment, as the alt-left saying, we don't like that we're becoming, I don't want to say normalized, but people are seeing our side of things. We want to stay esoteric. We want to be freaks. So it was like an indie rock band who was about to be signed by a major, and they just said, no, we're doing a song called Cunthead, you know, just to sort of get away from mainstream acceptance. And the reason they were getting mainstream acceptance is because the alt-left 2 years ago was not that bad. They weren't that weird. It meant something different than today. It meant I'm a right-winger who's not your normal right-winger. I smoke pot. I have gay friends. I just don't like big government. It wasn't anti-Semitic or racist, but it became that. And I think that Hail Trump moment was a big turning point, and of course Charlottesville was a right angle turning point. Don't you hate when people say a 360-degree turn or even a 180 turn? 180 means they became the opposite. 360 is the same direction. It's a 90-degree turn. So that's an insane question and totally loaded. And to say you gave someone a chance, I mean, that's the whole leftist mentality of an interview being a platform. It's not. It's a discussion. You're allowed to think things. You're allowed to wonder stuff. Cliven Bundy saw this black woman on welfare with tons of kids on a porch, and she was fatherless, and I think the dad was in jail. And he wondered aloud to the New York Times, were they better off during slavery? Now, Cliven, you're wrong. No, you're not wrong. They were not better off during slavery. No one's better off during slavery. So the answer to your question is no, they were not better off. But you're allowed to ask a question. Larry Summers at Harvard said, is it possible that women just don't have a biological predilection for mathematics? I'm open to that, by the way. But he was fired as president of Harvard for asking that question. If something is an interrogative, you're allowed to have, that's how you get smarter. You have a question mark at the end. All right. So then what she's done is she's combed through, Salon has combed through my show at Compound Media, Anthony Cumia Network. That's 610 hours of shows. They've gone through it all and found racial epithets, rude words, violent sentences. And you think, why? Like, you know that I'm not a Nazi. Your jaw would hit the floor if I said any of this stuff in the way that you're accusing me. So why are you out? And I think it's just vindictiveness. I think it's spite journalism, you know? Revenge. This isn't curious people trying to get to the bottom of something. This is just like petty little high school games. Now, to make Compound Media clear, Compound Media could not be farther from CRTV. CRTV is, I see it as new right. I see it as a breath of fresh air in conservatism. It's a small government conservatism. It's libertarianism. It's not the old fuddy-duddy Republicans who've never smoked a joint or are horrified by gays. And I think it's a healthy form of the right that I think is very appealing to young people, because it basically just says no rules, less regulation, more anarchy, in a sense. Compound Media isn't political. In fact, I don't think that you could say they're even right-wing. I think Bill Schultz is a liberal. Aaron Berg, Gino Bisconte, those guys, I don't think they're political. Maybe Aaron Berg's slightly on the right, not really. He's a liberal. Michael Malice is an anarchist who is so anarchist he hates libertarians for being pussies. So really you just got Cumia, and I'd say he's right-wing. But he's also kind of doesn't care. Like, he's one of these guys who says, yeah, Trump's an idiot and a clown, and I love it. He's dynamite. Like, he doesn't have kids, so he doesn't have skin in the game. So he doesn't have this, like, I want this because it's better for America. He's just like, I want this. Screw these people. Blow it up. And I admire that. It's honest. So a typical example of my show back then, like, he had a woman ejaculating into a cup, and then he brought it to a doctor because his Cumia's theory is that female ejaculate isn't some sort of special substance. He just says it's urine. So when a girl squirts, she's just peeing. That's his theory, and he researched that. He's had sex acts on the show, strippers performing sex acts on his show, on a Bobo, who's a special guy, meaning kind of a whackpacker. And I had an episode. There was a guy who put out a thing on YouTube saying he wants chicken cream farts on his black noodle face. And his goal was to get into gay porn, and specifically fart porn. I know this is not family-friendly podcasting, but I thought that was funny. So I contacted him on the show and suggested I come down and we do this at a hotel. And I made it very clear I'm not gay. I just want a chicken cream fart on your black noodles. This is his vernacular, by the way. So that's the world of Compound Media, right? People getting kicked out for doing cocaine. It's a shock jock station. So there's lots of swear words, lots of nudity, drugs, sex, booze, people passing out, people attacking. On Eastside Dave's show, one of the guys got so mad at Eastside Dave that he ran at him and pushed his desk over, the desk of the show, the $10,000 desk. People getting fired, quitting. Rat quit because Pat Dixon was mad at him and called him a piece of shit or something. Rat is not a piece of shit. He's a pussy, not a piece of shit. So anyway, that's the context of all of this. All right, Mr. McInnes, you did say we're the new niggers. MAGA is the new black. Now, that is a very bad word. I think it's the worst word in the English language. And it's hard to talk about using this word because you sound like Quentin Tarantino in that movie where he said it 15 times. So I'm going to say Canadians from now on, just because it's easier on the ears. I don't like the word either. I don't like it when I hear it on the train. Like when my kids are around and you can hear these black kids coming home from school and it's literally every fourth word. And now my kids know that word. And kind of my goal was for my kids not to learn that word, you know, for as long as possible. It's like Santa and sex. Now, clearly in that sentence, when I use it in that context and say MAGA is the new black, I'm using it the way John Lennon used it when he said women are the Canadians of the world. Or when the Front de Libération du Québec said that the Québécois are the Canadians of Canada. Actually, it doesn't... It doesn't work in that context. Again, when I say Canadians, I mean the bad word. Or when Lester Bangs called himself the last of the white Canadians. Or Black Lips wanted to make that their album. I think they were prevented from doing that, last of the white Canadians. Crass, in the song White Punks on Hope, they talk about all these fake Rock Against Racism concerts, and they say, if you take a closer look at the way things really stand, you'll see we're all just Canadians to the rulers of this land. So when you use that, or Elvis Costello, Oliver Zombie is here to stay. What does he say? One last white Canadian. It's used as an adjective, and it's actually lampooning the racist in a sense, where you're saying the Canadian is a bad word, and you see this as a bad word. You see women as Canadians. We're all just Canadians. The Québécois are Canadians. Clearly, that's what that means. And the reason I bring this up is because it's another example of willful ignorance. She knows that I'm not sitting there going, I was trying to get chicken the other day, and the lineup's full of goddamn Canadians. And I'm just like, what are these Canadians doing in here? God damn it. Every day I see a Canadian walking down the street listening to that rap music. She knows that's not the guy. And if you're a journalist and you're trying to find that guy, and you find someone who uses it as a metaphor, you go, damn it, I didn't get the guy. But they don't do that. They're just like, choo-woo, on a train to find this. And they purposely ignore any kind of nuance or parody or lampooning. They don't do that, of course, when they see their comedians like Sarah Silverman or some like drag king. You know what a drag king is, when women dress as men? They could get up on stage to these people and say absolutely anything, especially about Trump. The way that these liberals talk about Michelle Malkin and Ann Coulter and Sarah Palin is way more disgusting and sexist than any right winger I've ever heard. And I've interviewed the farthest right there is, and I've never heard them talk the way liberals will talk about conservatives. And they get homophobic, calling Proud Boys faggots, like we think that's an insult. Or remember we had that college Republican who was attacked by that Antifa professor in Chicago, or no, sorry, near Madison in Wisconsin. And he gets called a spick all the time, or when they call black conservative coons. So they use this language in the worst way possible and then simultaneously bust out a fine-tooth comb and start going through 610 hours of our speech trying to find us using it. Okay. And then this other sentence she pulls up. If you like Trump, you are a black man in 1945 trying to have water at a liberal fountain. Yeah? What's the problem there? A little hyperbolic. I'm sure it was much worse to be black in 45 than it is to be Trump. Although, wearing a MAGA hat in New York is pretty bad. We get kicked out of bars regularly and then screamed at. I can show you videos of us not just getting kicked out of the bars for the MAGA hats, but screamed at, you're a piece of shit, on the street. People in MAGA hats all over the country getting the, if you're at a liberal arts college in a MAGA hat, we hear about college Republicans getting spat on, getting shoved, getting attacked by professors. Wait a minute. Now I'm thinking that isn't a hyperbolic metaphor. Jovi Val's dancing at a club in a MAGA hat. Someone comes up and bottles him, cuts his face open, and his nose is broken. I think that was a pretty apt metaphor. No defense there. Here's another one. Whites push their mulatto normal friends. And again, you take all these racial quotes, and it sounds like this guy only talks about race. And if you have a good, like, Getty image picture of some, you know, Italian skinhead from 1980s, Zeke Heiling with a swastika on his forehead, you've painted a picture there. Whites push their mulatto friends to become black militants because it's cool to have a black militant friend. Yes, I did say that. That's a pattern I've noticed. I've noticed that when black people have tons of white friends and they're like, hi, how are you? I'm a black person. I get this when my Canadian black friends would come down and they go, hi, what's going on? My name's Chuck. And they go, eh, I don't want you. I want like one who says, I want Chuck D. I want one who sounds like Malcolm X. I want you to wear an army jacket. And a lot of, and not just blacks, but a lot of minorities will sort of acquiesce into this identity. Like American Indians will just go, yeah, I think, no, I'm not Chinese. I'm American Indian. My wife isn't one of these people, by the way. But a lot of American Indians will go, oh, you want me to be like American Indian Movement Indian? Okay. And they grow their hair long and get braids and have an army jacket and you know, become militant. I hate Columbus. I hate Thanksgiving. I hate the Redskins. And you go, you know what you are? You're kind of a Sambo. You're dancing around for the white man. And it's a strange phenomenon where these people will be half white and they become obsessed with black culture when it's not their culture. Like Melissa Harris Perry, I believe she was adopted by whites. She grew up in like Ohio playing Monopoly with her white family. Like Colin Kaepernick, same story, right? They grew up with these white families. Actually, Colin Kaepernick is a great example. I wouldn't be surprised if this quote came from me talking about him. And people go, hey, Colin, can you stop wearing sweater vests and having short hair and stuff? I want like a too black, too strong. No problem. Tell you what, I'm going to take a knee. Yeah, I like that. I like my pets to be black militants. Or you have Mariah Carey or Alicia Keys, all these women getting the BET awards and talking about black power, and their black dad wasn't around. Alicia Keys was raised by her Italian mom, but she's there playing the piano, Martin Luther King this and that, and you go, man, I'm sorry, I don't see this sincere. And by the way, when you meet actual black people, they're not political. At least in my experience, it's like gays. When you meet gays, you go, so I guess you're really pissed off about the trans military. And they go, I didn't really pay attention to that. Or you meet a black guy who works at Verizon. You go, so I guess you read Sean King's piece about the reparations. And he's like, no, I was at the Rangers game. That's like a white thing. It's a very white thing to be concerned about black politics. And it's a very straight white thing to be concerned about gay politics. There's a few gay nerds, you know, like the ones who got Brendan Eich fired. They're like political gays. But I think in the gay scene, and Chadwick Moore will confirm this, he's Milo's sort of literary head of the book department. He goes, yeah, they're sort of these political nerds in the gay scene who get people fired, and gays don't really like them. Like, they don't really have friends. Real gays are at fashion shows. Sorry. You know, one of the most extreme examples of this sort of I love my black side, is remember that dongle joke? It was big. It's in John Ronson's book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. It was a huge controversy where some guy leaned over and they said, when the dongle this, at some tech conference, and he goes, yeah, my dongle's bigger than your dongle. And some half-black woman heard it And she said, this is the white male patriarchy, blah, blah, blah. This is what us women of color in tech have to deal with every day. He whispered it to his friend. Anyway, she got him fired. And she made it all about racism, 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 and white people are horrible and blah, blah, blah. And then in the book, I discover that she came from an abusive upbringing. Her father, the black dad, beat the crap out of the mom and smashed in her face with a hammer, thereby removing all her teeth. He smashed the white mother's face in with a hammer. Her teeth are gone. She had to have all new teeth put in. And this young girl's takeaway was white people are the worst. So I don't have a problem with that sentence either. All right, here's a big one. When you bitch about slavery and you talk about the founding fathers and you talk about dead presidents, I hate that shit. Sitting in history class, just, and this is in quotes, sitting in history class, just learning about a bunch of dead white guys. And then I go back to me, that's because dead white guys built this country. Show some gratitude, show some reverence. Let's accept that the past is in the past and move forward and go, this was hard work that brought us here. Thank you for that. Now, Salon sees that as me saying, thank whites. And that's how you see the world when you have this myopic obsession with racism and white people, white people, white people. When I look at history of America, I don't see dead white guys. When I look at the history of Japan, I don't see a bunch of dead Japanese. I go, there's a bunch of dead old guys that worked hard to build the country. What race were they? Oh, they're predominantly white. But that's just because that was the founding of the country. Like, who looks at, to look at bills and go, what a bunch of dead white guys, means you see white everywhere. I call it Nazi glasses, Nazi glasses, where you just, everything is racial. And the example I often use is, say you're really into chess. Oh, so you're obsessed with Russia? You're a Russian superior? You're a Russian supremacist? Oh, yeah, I guess most big chess players are Russian. Yeah, okay. I'm not really a Russian supremacist. I don't know where you got that from. So yeah, to make this whole thing me saying thank them for that, you, if you're myopic and you think everything is about white people, then yes, that says thank white people for that. I don't see it that way. I see it as thank the founding fathers for that and stop obsessing with their race. And by the way, stop taking your Nazi glasses and applying 2017 standards to people like Columbus. Yes, he hanged people. Yes, there was rape. On all sides, it was chaos in 1600 in the Caribbean. Absolute savagery on both sides. We fought the Indians for 400 years. They are worthy adversaries. They should be proud of themselves. They kicked our ass. Okay, this one is very rude. I've learned, because I used to fuck a lot of rice balls, the way you get into chink's pants is you never mention race once. Clearly, that is not a racist guy. Try to imagine a Klansman saying that. A Klansman talking about how to seduce Asians. Clearly, words like rice ball are a parody of racism. It's like when you say, that's so gay. Do you really think that the thing you're saying is gay, like, say, watching a box set of Friends? I think that's super gay. Do I really think it's homosexual? Do I hate it? Do I think you're going to get AIDS from watching Friends? Clearly not. And this willful ignorance of jokes has made the left the least appealing side to be on. And it's, by the way, driven hordes of young people to the right because they're so humorless. Trump says, I could shoot someone on 42nd Street and get away with it. Trump just said that he could murder people. You know that's not what he meant. Yeah, some of these chicks, you know, they throw themselves at you. You can grab their pussies and let you do it. Trump says it should be legal to grab anyone's vagina, including my babies. I'm going to have my 4-year-old infant daughter carrying a sign saying, don't grab my pussy. My pussy grabs back. What? They're exactly like the Victorians, the sexual Puritans in Victorian England, who didn't want to see when they would baste a turkey, you had to put paper cups over the legs because they looked too salacious. Or you'd have to put doilies on table legs because they were too curvaceous. It looked too sensual. This is what they are. That's why I called them the New Victorians. Paul Joseph Watson calls them the New Puritans. Jim Goad calls them the church ladies. This is clearly a joke. Racists don't talk about seducing Asians. So you're going onto a shock jocks station, finding racial epithets, and thinking it's somehow proof that someone's a racist. I mean, these go on and on and on. There's literally dozens. So I'll stop when I get bored, because it's probably a good sign that you're getting bored. But it's possible we didn't kill the Indians because we're mean. We just thrive more because we're better. So she's seeing that as a eugenic argument that we're superior beings, our cells are better. And she's saying it to a man who married an American Indian and made three American Indians from scratch. We were better at warfare than the Indians. But while it took us, what, 3 years to defeat the Nazis, it took us 400 to defeat the Indians. So we weren't a hell of a lot better. But yes, again, to make that about eugenics is to have an obsession with racism. This is just like a welfare cruise. This is another quote. Washington Heights is a giant welfare resort where there's no cops, no laws, and people just do whatever the fuck they want on our dime. I mean, I've noticed someone's going through Salon aren't the only people trying to get me fired, by the way. People have been pouring through my old tweets, and I think someone is, I don't know, there's some sort of money behind it, I think, because they seem so obsessed. And why do you care about my life? But they're finding tweets from like 4 years ago that are offensive, and you're going, yeah, that was actually pretty funny. But that can be a dangerous game. Like Pax Dickinson, do you remember him? He used to work with Charles C. Johnson. He had a tweet, and he just worked in tech. He wasn't a political guy. And he talked about someone being raped by a pack of Canadians, substituting bad words. And what he was doing was, Mel Gibson was in the news because he got caught, I think, on a phone message screaming at his wife during a divorce and saying, the way you dress, you look like a whore. I wouldn't be surprised if you got raped by a pack of Canadians. And so Pax was mimicking that, kind of mocking Mel Gibson in a sense, and he was attaching it to someone else in a joke tweet. They years later, of course, you don't have the Mel Gibson context. You just see raped by a pack of Canadians. And out of context, of course, Pax was a big racist, and he lost his job. And he actually, I think, was driven farther right. They end up politicizing these people. They end up creating Nazis from scratch. I'm not calling Pax Dickinson a Nazi, but I know of many cases where apolitical people were vilified like this, and they didn't have the knife that Trigger Tommy had or the love of conflict that I have, and they end up just going, yeah, maybe I am all right. Maybe I will join this group. I'm unemployed. I got nothing else going on. But as far as Washington Heights goes, yeah, I had a buddy up there, Maurizio, and I'd go visit him, and we would talk about, what the hell is this place? In Washington Heights, the mom, there's no bedtime for kids. So at midnight, you'll just see kids running around. And they'll take a projector and project it on the side of the building and just sit there on the street watching a movie. They plug in a ghetto blaster into the streetlight. There's decorations on the electrical wires like it's their living room. And then in the morning, it's a ghost town until noon. And then they start lining up to get their haircut. There's a barber shop. There's two barber shops per block at least. And there's a lineup there where it goes from about 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And these guys are getting haircuts. And they got a haircut like 3 days ago. I think that was a very accurate assessment to call it a giant welfare resort. And then now she switches to the violence front and talks about things I've said where, like, okay, this is the last one, because Jim Goad calls this example exhaustion, where you make your point too well. She found me saying, look, you're not a man unless you've beaten the shit out of someone, had the shit beaten out of you, broken a heart, and had your heart broken. That's just a fact. I would like to add something to that, however. You're not a man if you rode on the back of a motorcycle. Yeah, I would rather walk 100 miles, to quote the Proclaimers, than ride on the back of a motorcycle. And don't you think if, okay, I didn't have my arms around him, I was just holding onto the back rail there. So it wasn't really hugging. Sorry, that's 2% better than wrapping your arms around him. And I actually say to guys, if you're doing badly with the ladies, get a motorcycle because it vibrates their area. So it's Pavlovian. When I'm with Gavin and we go places together, I have a good feeling in my swimsuit area. That's good work for you. It's sort of like, I don't advocate illegal drugs, but I have heard that single men in their 20s doing coke with girls in the bathroom, she'll do a bump and then they'll make out and she has all these endorphins being released during the kiss. More Pavlovian stuff. It's something about that guy. When I'm with him, I have endorphins released and my swimsuit area feels good. I think I'm in love. And that also means, by the way, a 60cc little moped is just as good as a 1200 BMW. But for that exact reason, you cannot ride on the back of a motorbike. Hey, man, we're going to that party. You want to go? Yeah, I'd love to. It's kind of far, though. It's 3 miles. Oh, okay. Well, how are you guys getting there? We have our motorbikes. Okay, well, I'll call an Uber, and I'll meet you guys there. Text me, though, if it sucks, and then I'll change my Uber ride or whatever. Well, why don't you just hop on the back? Because I'm not a lady, and I don't want to feel safe. You know who rides on the back of a motorbike? The weird blonde dude in the Mad Max movie, I think it was Beyond Thunderdome. The gay guy who wears a leash around his neck and is carried around by the dude with the mohawk. I think we're done. So, the moral of today is that the left is not interested in the truth. The left willfully ignores the truth. They ignore villains sitting right in front of them. They jump that hurdle. They go over that villain, over that illegal alien murderer, over that Islamic rapist, over that Islamic racist, over that culture, and they jump into the West, and they find someone that they know is not a bigot, that they know is not a bona fide racist, that they know is not a homophobe, someone who makes it very clear to them and has a big poster saying, here's my beliefs, makes his views explicitly clear. But they jump through that and they swim around with their scuba gear and try to find something under a rock where they can go, aha, you're not who you say you are. To which you reply, why would I lie? And the beauty of the villain that you just hurtled over, by the way, is he doesn't lie. Islam, Muslims in Paris write juif, Jew in French. They write juif on your car. They scream at men in yarmulkes. They are very explicit about their prejudice. The alt-left is very open that they support communism. They support genocide. We keep hearing about how the right, if they don't think that trans people belong in the military, then they want to commit genocide and they don't want trans people to exist. I've also heard them say, you don't want fat people to exist. Communists don't want infidels to exist. And by infidel, I mean their religion of the state. They are pro-genocide. Communism is a pro-genocide religion. So I got your bad guys. They're right here. But you don't like that. That bad guy doesn't fit your narrative because you're not really about good or bad. You're not about truth or fiction. You're about someone you don't like and then finding something about them so you can drag them down. But you can't drag us down. If I get fired from this job, I have a plan B, a plan C, D, E, F, G. I've been doing this for a quarter of a century, and I will continue doing this for another quarter century, no matter what. So I think the best thing you could do as someone out to get me is just suck it up and say, all right, instead of spending my time LARPing in a mythical fairyland, I might as well confront truth and try to debate me or write something that contradicts my belief, and we can both get to the truth. Because the lies run sprints, and the truth runs marathons. And I've been doing this a while now, and I've seen you people come and go. You don't have the longevity. You're not in it for the long haul. The people who are in it for petty little revenge and spite, you get older, you lose that edge, and you go, eh, I'm over it. I don't know. Millennials now will delete their tweets within 24 hours because they get over it. I'm not over the truth. The truth is the West is the best. The truth is every country has borders. Every country
deports illegal aliens. If we get rid of our border, you have to get rid of all your borders, Earth. That's not going to happen. So we're going to play by everyone else's rules, okay? We're not victims. We're not going to let you sit and beat the crap out of us. And I mean that literally, and I also mean that metaphorically as border policy. No, you can't just send all your criminals here. We're not going to let you deport your prisoners into our civilian population. And similarly, while we welcome Sikhs, patriotic Sikhs, while we welcome patriotic Hindus, while we welcome all these different patriotic cultures, and by the way, can we have some Christian refugees from the Middle East, please? If we're going to take in refugees, can they have the same religion as 80% of the country, maybe? However, if you have a culture, if you are a Muslim and you don't like America and you see yourself as Islam, as a Muslim or an Islamicist before you're an American, then no, you're not welcome here. And if your country, if your culture thinks gays need to be punished, thinks it's okay to beat a woman, thinks Sharia law is a good plan, supports Hamas, and thinks Jews should be exterminated, no, you are not welcome here. Love it or leave it. Come on over, have a good time. Enjoy yourself. We'd love to have you for dinner. However, if you want to wreck my house, get out of my house, and while you're at it, get off my lawn.